Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Tuesday, August 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm Mark Benjamin, and this is your wake-up call. I'm grateful to be back with you today on the wake-up call for our daily meeting with Jesus. Let's begin with our prayer of consecration. Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. And I offer my body as a living sacrifice to you. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our title today is Jesus Was in a Band. Hear now the word of the Lord from 2 Peter 1:16 through 18, where it says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven, and when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Consider this. I'm pretty sure Jesus was in a band. When you hear the word band, you likely think rock band, but we use it differently. Think of a rope, a rubber band, or a wedding band, a strip of material that holds things together. A band is simply a small group of people wrapped around your life to help hold you together. And Jesus had this. Jesus had an inner circle, Peter, James, and John. In our text today, Peter is recalling, probably some 30 years prior, the mountaintop scene where Jesus was transfigured. He says, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven," he recalls, speaking of how he, James, and John heard with their ears the Father speak from the mountain that day. Of course Jesus had an inner circle. Before being found in appearance as a man, Philippians 2:8, Jesus was there in the beginning, John 1. He is a card-carrying member of the Trinity, the Godhead, three persons, one God. By nature, he is communal and self-giving love, existing in an interdependent relationship. God created humanity in his image. We call that the Imago Dei, to reflect this relational self of his. He made us, human beings, to reflect him in our deep need for relationship. We need one another far more than we can comprehend. Look no further than what attachment researchers have discovered about babies who receive medical care but end up lacking the emotional and relational connection they need. A landmark 1945 study by Renee Spitz showed that infants in such environments, and harsh environments they were, develop severe depression, stop growing, and experience high mortality rates. We do not just need food and water, and babies prove this to us. We need love to survive, and adults are no different. It's no surprise that Jesus had an inner circle. At the Transfiguration, while in the height of glory, in a heavenly band meeting with Moses and Elijah, he invited Peter, James, and John. We need to be known and loved when we are at our best. When Jesus faced the impending suffering of the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he again invited them. We need to be known and loved when we are at our worst and lowest. Jesus modeled both. Whether in success or struggle, heights or depths, joy or sorrow, we need to be known up close by a few. You and I, like Jesus, need an inner circle. Even so, the Gospels remind us that our people can let us down. Peter, James, and John, you recall, fell asleep in Jesus' hour of need. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he said, Matthew 26:40. But even still, they were there. They clearly misunderstood the point of witnessing the transfiguration on the mountain we referred to today, but they were there. Jesus modeled that in his divinity, in his godness, he needs the Father and the Spirit. And in his humanity, he needed Peter, James, and John. And we, you and me, we need both. We need the embrace of the triune God, where we find our true identity. And we need a few people to keep watch with us. We need a band. And not just in principle, but in lived experience. We need to be known and loved in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this, I believe, is how we heal. Jesus demonstrated this fundamental need for others. It wasn't optional. Going it alone was never the plan. Whether in suffering or in glory, we should never go it alone. Jesus summed it up perfectly, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them," Matthew 18:20. Not only did Jesus have a band, he gets to be an honorary member of yours and my bands too. So what is a band? I'm glad you asked. A discipleship band is a group of 3 to 5 men or women who meet weekly to engage in transformational questions and pray for one another, aiming to become the love of God for each other and the world. What are those questions we respond to weekly? How is it with your soul? What are your struggles and successes, your highs and your lows, the good and the bad? How might the Word and the Spirit be speaking in your life? Do you have any sin to confess? And is there anything you desire to keep secret? These questions allow us to be known, not by a crowd, but by a few who can listen to us well and pray for us. Even if they nod off occasionally, it's not optional. This is how broken people become whole people. It's how whole people keep their lives together, whether in the heights or in the depths. Jesus had a band. Do you? Let's pray together. Triune God, thank you that deep community is not our good idea. It originates from you, from your very being. You have created us with the deep need for relationship. First with you, then with ourselves, then with others, and then to your creation. We know that in our brokenness, we tend to hide. We particularly hide the hard, the low, the suffering, and sin. But we can also hide the good, the best, and the brightest parts of us. We know none of that is of you. This is the root of shame in our lives. Help us, Jesus, each one of us, to have at least a few other people who can know us deeply, who can love us, who can pray for us, and who can help us become more like you, Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts. Whether you are officially in a band or not, do you feel like you are deeply known by a few? Do you have an inner circle? If you feel like you do not have a band or an inner circle, what steps could you take to move toward one? If you do have a band, what is it that you experience and appreciate about them? You know, saying I'm pretty sure Jesus was in a band, I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek. You, of course, know what I'm trying to get at is that Jesus modeled the need for having other people in his life. He modeled the need of what a band gives us, and that is being deeply known by a few. Many years ago now, I got to spend a couple of days with an author of a book which had a deep impact in my life. The book was called The Search to Belong by a person named Joseph Myers. And in this book, Joe says there are four spaces of belonging. Public space, social space, personal space, and intimate space. Imagine four overlapping circles. We need to be known in all four spaces. And he shows us in this book that Jesus, he had the crowds. And then he had 100 or so people, acquaintances, friends, and other disciples who followed him around and were often nearby, both men and women. Then he had the 12 disciples. And then he, within that 12, he had the three, which we talked about today. He had the ones that he let into more vulnerable places. They knew him the deepest. We need public space. We need public space. Think of a shared experience of corporate worship or gathering in a stadium when you're rooting with your team, that sort of public belonging. Think of a neighborhood barbecue or a potluck at church. That's that social belonging. Think of small groups of friends at church or at work or in your community. That's personal belonging. But when it comes to intimate belonging, we don't quite know what to do there, do we? It's often in that space that we think it's only really reserved for two categories, our spouse or our best friend. I would argue this is the space that is the hardest to find. And many of us mistakenly convince ourselves that if we just spend a lot of time with a person, we'll know them deeply, or they'll know us deeply. But that isn't always true. We can spend years in proximity to someone and not really know them that deeply. I once mentored a pair of brothers in college. I couldn't believe this. These guys grew up in the same exact house. They're a couple of years apart. They were like next door neighbors in college. After 3 months of being in a band together, they reported to me that they knew things about each other that they had never known, and their love for each other had increased exponentially. They had learned so much about each other, even though they had grown up in the same house. Why? Because they spent 20 minutes a week self-reflecting on the deeper parts of them. The truth is, it takes some work to cultivate this kind of intimate belonging. And thankfully, we don't need to be known deeply by crowds. We only need to be deeply known by a few. And somehow that space of being known by a few becomes, I believe, the greatest of healing spaces. It's the space that begins to heal all the other relationships. It's the space where out of being loved, I see that I'm suddenly becoming love for others and the broader world around me. When we let just a couple of people in on our lives. You know, I find that we often believe the lie that if people really got to know us deep down, that they would reject us. And I believe that's just shame talking, because the truth is the opposite is most true. When people really get to know the real you, they end up liking you more. They end up loving you more. So I want to invite you to take the risk. I want to invite you again to do what Jesus did. Find your few. Let them in. Let them know you. Let them pray for you. And of course, if you want to know more, You can find all of that information for free at discipleshipbands.com. Now, I would love to sing together before we end today. We're going to turn to page 344, or number 344 in our great Redeemer's Praise hymnal. We're going to sing "It Is Well With My Soul," one of my favorite hymns. And we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5 together. Let's sing this. Awakening. I'm Mark Benjamin, and I'll see you on the phone.